1 minute past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time to head into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Tyler Thigpen, who's director of Acadiana Food Circle, also Emily Bedevy of Green Boot Creations, and Troy Primo of Primo's Peppers. And we're here to talk about the Acadiana Food Circle as well as a benefit for the Food Circle. You all are a nonprofit organization. Are you still in that process?
We are in the process. Yes. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's a really long, drawn-out process, but it's pending. They've cashed our check.
So that's good. So
they did that real quick.
Pretty soon you will be completely licensed with that moniker. But you all have been working towards it for a long time.
Right. Yeah. It's been about 6 months, and I've heard it's a pretty long, drawn out process. So we're just kind of going with it. And but we've been together since April of 2011.
Okay. And I think you're pretty proud. You have your website up now.
We have a wonderful website. Mm-hmm. I'm biased. It's acadianafoodcircle.org. You can find the directory, which is the backbone of our organization. Mm-hmm. It tells you all about the local food producers in Acadiana, and as well as some literature on why eating local is healthy and sustainable.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how you all got founded. I think there was an original group who had similar interests, and you all got together to found this. And so what was your mission? I think you mentioned locally, but you're very interested in healthy eating as well.
Right. Well, it kind of goes, it goes hand in hand, which is nice. Our main goal initially was to create a directory to, and it was kind of selfish because we're all consumers. We're all interested in where can we buy this stuff. So it started out as a list of where can I find local beef? Where can I find local pork? And there were four of us, Jillian Johnson, Whitney Broussard, Kristen Kordecki, and myself. And now it's Whitney Broussard, Lacey Dupree, and myself. And we're actually looking for two very enthusiastic local food lovers to bring on. And so it started as the directory, and it's kind of grown into more of promoting local artisans like Emily and Troy and local growers, people that grow or raise cattle or anything sustainable and local.
Well, you know, it's an interesting concept, and when we start talking about food, I mean, people in Louisiana do think of food as an art.
Oh, it is,
and in fact, whenever you talk with people from the Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation, they always include that, the culinary arts and the food arts, as something that draws people here to Louisiana and that we're all very, very interested in on so many different levels, and whether it is in restaurants or, you know, people in their farms, that everybody has an interest in it, and it really is raised to kind of an art. And of course, especially when you start creating things with those local items,
peppers.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Thank you, Troy. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's an interesting concept, and you know, it's always interesting to me when I hear them mixed in with visual artists and musical artists, and then there's the culinary arts as well. So you all are quite interested in part of that cultural economy.
Yeah, and it's really nice here in Lafayette and Acadiana because there's so much local pride. So we have a lot of support, and there's the food. People love food here, and they love keeping it local. And so it's just, it's really grown, and people come out and support us, and it's nice.
Yes, and you know what seems to be interesting, and anyone on Facebook, I think, around here, has been amazed at the number of people who make their own fig preserves now.
Yeah, oh my God.
You know, it seemed like every day there was a photograph of somebody making fig preserves, and for a very, very long time here, nobody made it. You know, your grandmother made it, and then, you know, no one grew fig trees, no one planted them, and no one my age or even younger was making it. So it's a wonderful thing to see people, again, that, that I guess I'm always referring to those, the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings, where you all are, who are focused on that and trying to revive the interest in that, in growing and creating.
And preserving.
And preserving, exactly. So that, how did you get interested in that, Emily?
I grew up with a neighbor who did a lot of canning and preserving of vegetables from her garden. And a few years ago, my mom taught me how to make pepper jelly and wine jelly. And I just thought, this is too cool. And, you know, it's I have this sickness now that where I see this beautiful food or wine, and I think, can I can that?
Can I put it in a jar?
Can I put it in a jar?
Which is something that was so natural to people here until a certain point, I guess, when it was so much more easily and safely available.
And necessary.
And
right.
Necessary.
Yeah, to preserve and keep right. it for later.
Yeah, you hear people talking about sheds in their back where it was filled mm-hmm. with canned goods, not only jams, which we sort of are used to, maybe some people make jams, but vegetables and, right. and peppers, mm-hmm. as you all are mentioning, that they would store for the entire year.
A lot of folks got through some hard times, you know,
right.
that way. And with the economy, it's, mm-hmm. I think it's a sound decision to
right.
know how to, you know, grow your own food.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, Troy,
preserve
are you
it.
From here? Is your family from here?
Well, I'm from Crowley, but I've been here since 89, so I guess
well,
you can
Crowley's
say,
from here.
It's all going to be Lafayette sooner or later, right?
That's right. So you have ancestors
oh, yeah,
from
the Primos,
area.
You know.
Yeah. Right. And Emily, is your family?
I grew up in central Louisiana.
Okay.
I grew up in Pineville. I'm not crazy.
That's close.
But my whole family lives down here now. I've been down here since 94, for mm-hmm. the most part, off and on, but since 94. Mm-hmm. So this is home.
Yeah, but all of you having generations of people in your family who you observed create
right, right.
items
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Out of
my mm-hmm. grandfather had a garden, and for years I've you know, played music, and all of a sudden I started getting interested in the shovel. I said, what's going on here? Am
yeah.
I getting older? Or,
yeah.
You know, but I took a fond interest in growing things mm-hmm. and creating, and that's a good thing.
Did you work with your grandfather?
I did. I learned a lot from him. It's mm-hmm. a generation lost, you know, that whole World War II generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my folks both, you know, worked hard, you know, middle class people.
Mm-hmm.
Regular
so they
jobs.
Weren't the gardeners.
No. No, so I'd go to my grandpa's house, mm-hmm. and I'd learn all that stuff and how to make toys out of, you know, things that lay around, spools of thread and empty spools of thread and stuff, and go in the garden
right.
and
again,
create.
Creation out of necessity,
make that was imagination, it. Creation, mm-hmm. and I think that's spilled over into, you know, music and everything I do in my life.
Right. So. Well, do you did your grandparents can?
Oh, yes.
From the garden?
Yes,
what do you remember eating that you loved from...
Well, what I remember a lot of is probably the pepper stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I
okay.
think I was obsessed since I was little, you know? Molletons and banana peppers and vinegar, and, you know, you'd put it on rice and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been what, you know, pun intended, planted the seed mm-hmm. in my head.
I remember my mother talking about something they call chow chow.
Chow chow, mm-hmm.
I guess
yes.
that was
chow
like
chow.
Pepper
yum.
Relish.
Yeah.
Or
right,
mm-hmm.
yes. It's, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's more of a relish. I think real chow chow could have some, maybe, you might
yeah,
know, mustard
well,
in it, right?
Up north, they put cabbage in it.
Cabbage,
I think
yeah.
down here it's a lot,
it's more
a lot of
relish.
Cajuns do, yeah.
yeah
peppers and onions, like a relish, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So by up
vinegar.
North, you mean
north
like
Pineville?
Pineville?
Not Pineville, no.
Okay.
Way north.
Yeah. So you mentioned
north.
That your mother taught you how to can. Mm-hmm. Do you remember other generations in your family making things?
Not really, mm-hmm. but... our neighbor mm-hmm. from back home was like a grandmother to me. And I just remember going to her. It wasn't a pantry. It was this huge room with, and her husband was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And he built her several cabinets, and they were just full of green beans that they had grown, corn that they had grown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see it from a generation before my mother.
Wow. Absolutely. And figs, like you said. Yeah. I mean,
figs. Again, that's just making my heart so happy to see that there's a resurgence.
You like figs?
Well, I like figs. It's very nostalgic. And the fact that people just are doing that
that's
for
good.
Themselves.
It
you
is
know?
Nice. Yeah, there has kind of been this move towards domestication.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I've tried a lot of stuff like canning and preserving that I never thought I would be successful at. Sauerkraut. I kind of failed on that one.
You
but
haven't caught botulism yet, right?
I haven't hurt myself from anything I've made yet. But
well, what is your culinary background, Tyler? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Alabama, Birmingham, and on an urban farm. We had horses and chickens, goats, all kinds of stuff in the neighborhood, and horses at our house, as well as a big urban garden. And that my grandparents are cattle farmers. But I think when I really got into the fresh food is I worked in Antarctica for 4 months and there was
nothing
fresh. Yeah. And then I lived in the desert for a year. And so it really drove home, like as soon as I moved here, I moved to Lafayette 5 years ago after Antarctica and then the Mojave and Great Basin and got very much into the local foods movement because yeah, you can grow things. There are no trees in either place. You know, well, juniper, but that's it. You know, so I think that was the big push, is having to go without, because you really don't see many people going without, you know, something fresh.
It really makes
fresh.
You grateful for this climate and how we are able to grow so many items. If you have just tuned in, my guests are Tyler Thigpen, who's director of the Acadiana Food Circle, and Emily Bedevy of Troy Green Boot Creations and Troy Primo of Primo's Peppers, talking about their background, how they got interested in fresh foods and also canning them so that they got to have those foods throughout the year, whether they were fruits or vegetables. So, Troy, you really focus on peppers.
It's my obsession.
Is that the
obsession.
Only thing you can?
Well, you know, Kara, my wife, makes chili, and, you know, we're sauce.
Okay,
we're making
sauces.
So y'all
complement each other.
Well, I'd bring all these peppers home. You know, I'm obsessive. I grow 30, 40 varieties, stuff you can't get in the store, you know, so... Mm-hmm.
What's the hottest variety you grow?
Oh, you know, I kind of developed one. Basically, I bred one called Seven Pot P.O.T. Primo. You know, in Trinidad, it heats seven pots of stew. And it passed around the internet. I gave out some seeds, and they dubbed it Primo, P-R-M-O. Oh. So, and I'm like, well, that's an honor, okay. So,
And have you actually had it measured on? Isn't there a scale or some kind
There's a Scoville scale, and coincidentally, yesterday, I sent off three samples to a lab in New Mexico because I'm curious. I'm
like, but it's way up there.
So soon, no.
He let me try, I mean,
a microbe.
Yeah, yeah. I stuck a toothpick in the powder, and I was like, I felt it.
About all you could handle.
I'm going to have to get some disclaimers, you know, signed up for this weekend, you know.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. A little liability form.
Right.
So you're growing your own peppers and creating from what you grow. Emily, do you have fruit trees? Or
No, I wish I did. Mm-hmm. I have friends with gardens. Mm-hmm. I have farmers markets to go to. Mm-hmm. And I pick a lot of stuff, you know. We've got family in Arnaville with okra. That's where just an FYI, I make the best pickled okra in the world.
All right.
You're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll get you a jar in a couple months.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure your friends get to share in the bounty.
They do. Yeah. They do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what's your favorite latest creation?
A few months ago, when kumquats were in season, I made habanero kumquat marmalade. It was the best. That is the best thing I've ever made, for sure. Wow. I didn't think that kumquats were good,
but you changed your mind.
And I didn't think marmalade
that.
Was great, but I put those things together, and it's
What kind of have did you use? Did a little chocolate or just a regular orange?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the point you made to Tyler when she talked about her canning. You know, have you poisoned yourself yet?
The B word.
Not yet.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who worry about that. And what do you tell people who come to you and ask questions about that?
I know that I follow the safe regulations, and I have a lot of people that ask me, who do I go to? What book do I get? And there are a few websites out there that are master canners. Mm-hmm. And so I'll point them in that direction. And I warn them, if you are uncertain about any of these recipes, you know, ask me first. But there are people out there who will answer those questions for you, because there are canning and preserving sites who, you know, put recipes out there for monkey butter, which is banana. I guess banana jam, and it's not canned properly in their recipe, and so
That's like, you know, with peppers, it's, you have to watch the pH, you have to, you know, boil them for so long, and this and that, and it's serious stuff. So,
but there is a lot of information out there, obviously, you know, our parents and grandparents, and you know, survived all these years.
Well, a lot of people actually say, "Well, this is, you know, my grandmother's been using this recipe for 50 years, and she hasn't killed anybody." But you know, I used to drink water out the creek without filtering it, and it never killed me. But that's not a very smart thing to do.
Just
because grandma's recipe hasn't killed anybody yet doesn't mean that doesn't mean that it's safe.
Right, and she may have mastered it.
Right,
exactly. You know. That's right. Yeah. She had her ways to ensure that it was safe. So wise words from Emily and Troy about home canning.
And luckily for people like me that don't have the skill set, there are a lot of people around, a lot of artisans around that use local, and you can look at the website, acadianafoodcircle.org, at the directory and look under that section and go to the pros, you know, if you're afraid.
Yeah. Again, we are talking about Acadiana Food Circle, and they are having a benefit this coming Sunday to help in their work and their mission. And Emily and Troy will be there. Mm-hmm. There will be lots of products, artisanal products there. You're going to be having the benefit at Jolie's,
right.
Which is a restaurant in Lafayette.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What time is that going to start?
It's on Pinhook, and I think it's 507 Pinhook. I don't have that in front of me. But it starts at 10 and it runs till 2. And the artisans and some producers are going to be set up on the porch. And so will Acadiana Food Circle if you want more information. And we'll have pamphlets about many of the growers and producers and artisans in the area, the ones that aren't able there, able to be there. And then, then go in, enjoy brunch, and support
out
the cause.
Acadiana Food Circle. And I'm imagining that a lot of people will enjoy this so that they can talk to people like yourselves about the history and the culture and traditions of canning.
Oh, I love to talk to people about it.
I warned Kara. I said, I'm going to be doing a lot of talking. You're probably going to be, you know, serving. I'll be talking.
That's the nice thing, though, is, I mean, they know all about the history and all about the, you know, the safe food practices and everything. Right. So it's just such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah. Again, connecting us to our roots, so to speak.
Exactly.
And, you know,
it's
the
full
traditions.
Circle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us have had that sort of wistful feeling, again, that sort of lost generation, you know, remembering our grandparents' experiences and the canned goods and not really having had that tradition broken. And so it's so satisfying and exhilarating, really. To see this generation taking it up again and making it so widespread, because it isn't just a handful of you.
It's big. No. Our directory is 20 pages, and that's a year, you know, a year's worth of research, but there are so many more people out there.
Right, and individuals who are beginning to do it personally in their homes, and again, Facebook was just wonderful this season about all the different jams and butters that people were making from local products.
Yeah, do not go to the Acadiana Food Circle Facebook site hungry. Seriously.
What is the most unusual thing that you've canned, Emily?
Recently I did smoky chipotle cherries, and they were interesting. I drooled over the recipe all day.
Well, you know, one of the things, there are lots of fruits I love that you can't cultivate in South Louisiana, at least. And so I often feel we're a little handicapped. But on the other hand, when you start talking about, you know, kumquat and habanera, those are things we can grow here, you know. And if you're quite creative, and like yourself, Troy, I guess creating new strains, we aren't so limited after all. You know, the combinations make it very interesting.
And the combinations are fine.
I know. Yeah, and that's where, you know, my wife, I'm just the grower, right?
Yeah,
I'm a
horticulturist. Where the art comes in, it really, that's where you see the art.
I'm the super taster. Oh, well, yeah, that's good. That's not good.
So in talking about peppers and canning peppers, do you only do it in connection with a sweet, or do you're actually making pure unadulterated?
Oh, I do. I make powder out of it. I dehydrate these 30 different varieties. And, you know, an habanera is not just an habanera. It's a variant of a theme. And some are citrusy. Some, you know, are smoky.
You could describe
some are just
them
plain
like wine.
Hot.
They have their own descriptions.
Right, go great with wine. So, you know, we've mixed some with strawberry, you know, and that goes good with goat cheese. And so I'm obsessed. I'm the mad scientist that, you know, if you want to taste, come out and taste, look out, you know.
And also just chat with you all about that. I mean, not only am I getting hungry, but I'm thinking of creations and things you can do, and you're opening up possibilities for so many people out there, and taking canning where it's never gone before.
To the moon.
Absolutely. So tell us about some of the items that will be there on Sunday. We've mentioned a few. I guess, are you going to have your kumquat and...
No, I don't have any kumquats left.
Okay. That went too fast.
That went way too fast.
When one that caught my eye, something that people could, I guess, taste and experience, vanilla bourbon fig jam.
Yes.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, that does. And
it
a
is
beer
lovely.
Jelly.
Yeah,
bourbon caught my ear.
Well, I do have bourbon jellies too, but I don't. I won't be bringing any of those.
Okay.
But I do
but
wine jelly.
It does say
jelly.
Beer jelly here.
I do have beer jelly.
Yes.
I've got one that I made using LA 31.
How much sugar do you have to put in that?
I might give my recipe away.
No.
You had to put a good bit.
Yeah.
That's what helped that, and the pectin is what helps it set.
Well, I must remember reading, my father has made wine before, and in one of the little books he had by one of the passionate people who make wine, they said you can make wine out of anything. You can make it out of oak leaves if you add enough sugar. Oak leaf, that would be very interesting.
So yeah.
Might be worth
fermented
trying
oak
there.
Leaf.
That's right. Yeah,
there's no shortage
that's
around
right.
here.
So anyway, it's just an interesting question that I guess you can make jam out of anything too.
We were in Oregon, and not to get off on the tangent, but we went to a Japanese place, and I forgot the name of what they call it in their language, but they had jars of this stuff fermenting. It was a nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they had this liqueur made out of black mold. And I asked her, I said, you know, this isn't going to kill me or anything. You know, she goes, no, it's very good, very good. I said, okay, I'll have some.
Was it good?
It was like tequila, actually. It was really good.
Make that down here, too.
I was thinking my gears were turning. I'm going back home. Like a black mold.
Well, we certainly have no lack of mold in Louisiana, yeah. So that might be a possibility.
Yeah.
If you are getting either slightly hungry or amused or appalled by some of these descriptions, my guests are Tyler Thigpen, director of the Acadiana Food Circle, and Emily Bedevi and Troy Primo, who are creating all kinds of yummy things and doing what used to be so traditional here, canning from our own gardens or our friends' gardens as well. Mm-hmm. There will be a benefit for the Acadiana Food mm-hmm. Circle this coming Sunday.
Right.
It will be at Jolie's.
Mm-hmm. And from 10 to 2.
10 to 2. Mm-hmm. So you've got lots of time to sample and chat and mm-hmm. help to support the Acadiana
Food Circle. And make
Food
reservations because I think it's first come, first serve. But if you end up on the porch sitting out,
you'll be in good company.
You'll have a lot of fun stuff to look at. And
absolutely.
We'll also have, in addition to the canned mm-hmm. and preserved and the peppers, we're going to have homegrown organics. We'll have a lot of stuff from Freetown Farmers Market because mm-hmm. there's not a lot of produce available this time of year mm-hmm. with the heat. But and then bouquets of flowers and Sharon's homemade will be there with canned and pickled and preserved stuff mm-hmm. as well. So
to use Lee Klein-Peter's phrase, it's going to be a cornucopia.
Yeah.
sensual experience there.
Yeah.
Both taste and sight and smells. And mm-hmm. and again, all to benefit the Acadiana Food Circle.
Right.
People out there may be wondering how they can get more information. Mm-hmm. We did mention the website.
Yes, and we have the poster up on the website, mm-hmm. so it's under the events page, acadianafoodcircle.org. You can also go to the Facebook page, which is just search Acadiana Food Circle, or email us at acadianafoodcircle@gmail.com.
Right, and if you do mm-hmm. like Acadiana Food Circle on mm-hmm. Facebook, you'll get lots of postings about things that will make you hungry, I guess.
Yes, we're always posting, and then we're up to almost 350 members,
right.
So the members have gotten really into mm-hmm. it, and a lot of the producers post, mm-hmm. and it's
so a lot
it's
of
so
sharing,
fun.
And,
yeah.
and I'm sure it's a resource as well. People can ask questions.
Oh my
there,
gosh, yeah.
And,
I've learned
lots of
so much.
Experts who can give you advice mm-hmm. on the food circle. So that's acadianafoodcircle.org mm-hmm. for the website, and then the Facebook page as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for coming
thank
by.
You
thank
so
you
so much for having us.
Again,
thank
Emily
you.
Bedevi with Green Boot Creations, Troy Primo of Primo's Peppers, and the director of Acadiana Food Circle, Tyler Thigpen.
And thank you so much, Judith.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you.